quite late at night, and the little town of Bethlehem lay very still under the dark velvet sky. But the low stone houses which nestled in the rocky hillside were crowded full with tired travelers come from all over the ancient land of Palestine. In fact, one young couple hadn't been able to get a bedroom at all, and they were trying to sleep on beds of hay out in the stable. Higher on the dark hills, a group of shepherds sat watching their shadowy flocks, when suddenly the darkness about them grew strangely luminous, and in the flooding light, there stood before them a shining angel. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you: ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." The shepherds were wondrously excited. They hurried down the rocky hillside toward the sleeping town and ran to the stable. Joseph the carpenter let them in. And there they knelt at the wonderful sight. The young mother, Mary, looking so happy. And on his little bed of clean hay in the wooden manger, the tiny baby boy who would be named Jesus. The shepherds looked down at him lovingly as they told Mary and Joseph the great things which God's angel had said about the baby. And Mary smiled, for the angel had come to her long before, and she knew something they didn't, that Jesus was God's own son, come down from heaven to live on earth through her. The shepherds left. Soon the stable was quiet. Outside, the same star shone down from the dark velvet sky, but one star was newly brighter than the others, but it was guiding three wise men on their long camel journey from the east, coming to worship the newborn king and bring him gifts. Far away, the angels sang. God had given the world the first Christmas. When the wicked King Herod heard that a new king had been born, he made secret plans to find the baby and kill him. But God sent an angel to warn Joseph. So, in the middle of the night, Mary and Joseph wrapped the baby Jesus in his blanket. Mary climbed up on their shaggy little donkey, and Joseph led them quietly down the stone-paved streets. They were almost to safety at the edge of the village when suddenly they heard, "Halt! Who goes there?" Joseph pulled them back in the shadows. He whispered to Mary, "Shh! Don't make a sound." "Oh," thought Mary, "I hope the baby doesn't cry." It was the king's guards. They were coming closer. The cruel King Herod was sending his soldiers with their sharp swords to kill every single boy baby in the town of Bethlehem. But they didn't find Jesus. Cradled in his mother's arms as they swayed along on the little donkey, he crossed the sandy desert to the pyramids of Egypt. And there he lived with his family until the terrible King Herod died, and it was safe to come home again. The year Jesus was 12, something very unusual happened. His family had traveled down the long, dusty road to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover. When the sacred week came to an end, young Jesus was nowhere to be found. "Jesus," called Mary and Joseph into the darkness. "Jesus, where art thou? Jesus!" Jesus was lost. As soon as it was light, Mary and Joseph hurried back to Jerusalem. For 3 fearful days, they searched the whole city in vain. And then, almost frantic with worry, they looked in the last place that was left, in the church, the great temple of white marble and gold. There, they found their lost little boy. Only he didn't think he was lost, for Jesus, only 12 years old, was actually arguing about the scriptures with the bearded elders and teachers, the most learned men in the Holy Land. And what's more, as the Bible tells the story, all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. He was very sorry his mother and Joseph had been frightened so, but he said, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?" For even then, he knew that his real father was God, and the church is God's house. Jesus had grown to full manhood before the time came to lay aside his carpenter's tools and let people know that he was the Son of God, sent down from heaven to help people be good and to save them from being punished for the bad things they did. At first, people didn't pay much attention to him. But when he began performing his miracles, his fame spread like wildfire, and everywhere he went, multitudes of people crowded around him. He cured all kinds of sick people, cripples and lepers. He made deaf men hear and blind men see, just by touching them or speaking simple words such as, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." A dear friend of his, named Lazarus, got very sick, and his sister sent for Jesus. But when Jesus arrived, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. Everybody said, "Jesus got here too late. Even he cannot cure a dead man." But Jesus went out to the cemetery, and he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And when the dead man's eyes opened and he came back to life and walked out of the cold stone tomb on his own legs, still wrapped in his white grave clothes, everybody cried out with astonishment and joy. Once, a multitude of people followed Jesus out into the country for 3 days and nights. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Give ye them to eat. They have nothing." The worried disciples answered, "How can we feed these thousands of hungry people when all we have is 5 small loaves of bread and 2 small fishes?" Jesus smiled and took up the bread and the fishes and blessed them. Then he began breaking the food into small pieces in his hands and passing it to the disciples to give to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. That same night, the disciples were out in a fisherman's boat, sailing across the Sea of Galilee, when a sudden storm whirled down on them. The wind roared through the rigging. The waves dashed high around them, and they were afraid they were going to be drowned. Suddenly, the storm grew strangely quiet. They stared across the waves, and there they saw Jesus. He was coming toward them, but he wasn't riding in a boat. He was walking
upon the water.
And when they saw that, their doubts quieted like the storm, and they worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Before Jesus came, people had always been afraid of God. God was jealous, they thought, and quick to terrible anger. But Jesus brought wonderful news to earth, the new truth that God loved his children and would always be patient with everyone who tried to be good. One day, the multitude followed Jesus up a mountain, and there he told them about the new way to live in the wonderful words we call the Sermon on the Mount. He told them, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I saith unto you, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." And it was here that he gave us the golden rule, that we must always treat other people as nicely as we wish they would treat us. And he brought us the Lord's Prayer, telling it to the multitude in his own voice. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Amen." Jesus finished the Sermon on the Mount by telling the multitude one of those wonderful stories which the Bible calls parables. He said, "Whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall thereof. Those words have lived almost 2,000 years. For 3 years, Jesus had preached and healed and prepared his disciples to carry on his work. Now the great adventure was coming to its end. In the springtime of this third year, Jesus and his disciples went up to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. But when Jesus went to the beautiful temple, he was filled with anger, for inside the holy church, men were carrying on business. They were selling doves and oxen for sacrifices and changing money, as though the temple were a street of shops instead of God's own house of worship. And Jesus swept through the temple like a storm. He pushed over the tables of the money changers. He loosed the doves and drove out the oxen. And the buyers and sellers fled before his anger. And he said, "It is written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer. But ye have made it
a den of thieves.
This made the scribes and chief priests very angry. And that night, they met in the palace of the high priest to see how they could lay hold of Jesus and put him to death before he made them lose their wealth and power. But, they said craftily, first we must make the people hate him. We must find some friend of his to betray him. At sundown on Thursday, Jesus began the Last Supper with his faithful 12 disciples. And as they were eating together, he looked around the long table at Peter and John and Judas Iscariot and the others, and he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Late that night, Jesus went to the garden called Gethsemane to pray. Suddenly, the peaceful darkness was rent with the blaze of torches. The quiet was shattered by the trampling of feet and the rough shouts of the mob sent by the high priest. Which one is Jesus? They cried. Which impostor calls himself the Son of God? Then, from out of the mob, stepped the disciple Judas Iscariot. And he came up to the other disciples and kissed Jesus. Then the mob knew their victim. They laid hands on Jesus and seized him, for Judas had betrayed his Lord's lifeblood for 30 pieces of silver. On the morning of Friday, when they took him before Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, they lied and made false charges. The mob in the courtyard, inflamed by the chief priests and elders, cried, let him be crucified. And finally, Pilate, a weak man, surrendered Jesus to the mob. The soldiers jeered at their prisoner. Look who calls himself a king. And they pressed a make-believe crown of sharp thorns down on his head and made fun of him as they led him up the hill to the place called Calvary. A tall cross of wood was placed upright in the stony ground. They stripped Jesus' garments from him and lifted his body against the wood. And then they drove long nails through the palms of his hands into the crossbar. Through the left. And through the right. And then they drove more nails through his poor feet into the pole of the cross. And there he hung in awful pain, dying slowly in the hot sun. 6 long hours he suffered there, while the high priest and scribes taunted up at him, saying, if thou be truly the Son of God, come down from the cross. And jeering, he helped others, but he cannot help himself. Jesus, through his suffering lips, said only, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But the merciful end was drawing near. At last, Jesus cried out, it is finished, and bowed his head and died for us. They placed Jesus' body in a rocky cave, and into the narrow doorway they rolled a huge round stone to seal it. And Jesus' friends went down the hill, saying sadly, the Christ our Lord is dead. But on Sunday morning, they found the great stone rolled away from the door like a pebble. Jesus' body was gone. And in the tomb were two angels in dazzling raiment. And they said, "Why search among the dead for him who is alive? He is not here. He has risen." It was true. On this first Easter morning, Jesus had gone to be with his Father in heaven. And he is there now, watching over us. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen.